Hello everyone, I'm Mike Amerlon from the Office Ecosystem Marketing team, and today we're going to talk about how you can build applications for mobile, for the desktop, and for the web using Microsoft Graph. Now Microsoft Graph, if you don't know, is the one API you can use to connect to all kinds of data from your organization. If your company is using Office 365, you already have a wealth of things like the users, the files, the mail, the calendar, and the contacts that you're going to want to build into your applications, and it's all available for you that you can pull in through Microsoft Graph. So today we'll explore how you can build applications that use Microsoft Graph. Okay, so I'm first going to start with an overview of Microsoft Graph, what it looks like, how to work with it, the kinds of things you can do with it, how to experiment and build around with Microsoft Graph, and we'll cover the complete overview of how to use it. And then we'll actually take a look through the tool called the Graph Explorer. Now, the Graph Explorer allows you to structure queries, do posts, do patches, do get operations. It's almost like a command line to your organization through REST-based URLs. So it's really fun to play with, and you can explore what's possible with Graph with that. And then we'll get into sort of deeper coding. We'll build some web apps. We'll also build a mobile application using Xamarin as well. So you can see how you can pull in Graph, you know, irrespective of whether you're working on the web or on mobile, however you want to do it. We've got great APIs and availability through Microsoft Graph to work with it. Okay, so let me back up a little bit. The Office platform itself is really designed to make it as easy as possible for developers to bring their web applications and all the coding techniques that they know and love and use it inside of an organization and pull in data from Office 365. Now, Office itself, you know, whether you're talking about SharePoint, whether you're talking about Word or Excel, whether you're talking about Microsoft Teams, it's designed to have ways to extend the user interface so that you can bring your application to where work gets done. Whether it's, for example, working as an Outlook add-in, where when people are composing things, you can extend that experience, whether it's something like inside of Excel, where you can have a pane on the right-hand side that can provide additional tools for doing calculations, or web parts inside of SharePoint, your company's organizational portal. You can add web parts that use Angular or any kind of web technology. You can fold them into SharePoint and extend that as well. So philosophically, we try to make every part of Office extensible so that, again, you can bring your applications to where people are working and make them more productive. Now, next up, we also want to make it possible for you to build mobile applications and websites outside of Office and pull parts of Office into that. And that's really the focus of this talk. We have the API surface known as Microsoft Graph. It spans across Office 365. It includes a number of Azure-related technologies like Azure Active Directory and Intune. And you can pull all this together inside of your device applications and your websites, and we'll explore what that looks like today. And finally, with the Office platform, we're working on new form factors and new ways to actually, you know, interact with computers, whether it's bots, for example, where you want to have a conversation with an intelligent system and ask it things, and it can understand your language, and it can give you data and can give you results, you know, accurately. We have voice and video through technologies like Skype, where you can work through video. I mean, we're watching a video now, probably, as of me speaking, and so you can harness that power from Skype in your organization to build more rich and interactive apps. And then finally, connectors. Connectors is this technology that we have across Office, you know, in Outlook with groups and in Teams and in other places where you can actually push in messages. So as people are working, they can get a notification, a very rich notification, for example, from your bug tracker or from your company's CRM system that can notify them of activities that are going on. So all kinds of different ways to extend Office. If you're ever building a business application, if you're one of the tens of millions of people that use Office 365 every day, then you can get started with all these technologies to really help make your entire company just work better. Now, Microsoft Graph, as we talked about, is really sort of the API endpoint for everything inside of Graph. Inside of Office 365 and beyond. What's really great about it is that it's just one endpoint. So, you know, whereas maybe in times past you'd have to work with some Exchange APIs or some SharePoint APIs or, you know, and they'd all be REST-based, but they'd all be slightly different and they'd all have a slightly different authentication system. With Graph, we've made it all unified. So you authenticate once with Azure Active Directory, you get back your token, and then whether you're calling SharePoint Files APIs or whether you're calling into Outlook for email, it's all the same kind of experience and it all feels the same. Now, the other benefit of this is that we have a number of SDKs that are available to you that you can use to extend it into different devices. Now, the key thing about Microsoft Graph is that it's a graph. You can start, for example, by accessing data about yourself through the /me endpoint. but maybe you want to know who my manager is because you're interested in finding out more about them. Well, you can call /me/manager to get that kind of information. Maybe you can find the set of files that they're working with, so you can, you know, extend from the graph in that direction. So you can really, you know, harness any kind of relationship in the system to make your application better. It works like a graph, and you can explore across, you know, files and users and groups and all those kinds of things just seamlessly. The other thing you can do is pull in insights inside of your application. So Microsoft Graph is not just a set of very valuable data objects like users and files and those kinds of things, but there's also a set of insights. And so the idea is that, you know, for example, I have an organizational structure. I work for a certain manager and he works for a certain manager and that kind of thing. There's also the set of files that people that I work with that's just there by virtue of me sharing a file with them or them reviewing something or adding some comments. And these are sort of the coworkers I work with every single day. It's not something that's written down in my organization chart. It's just something that's there. And so what Graph has is a set of optional components where it can actually go and sort of suss out those kinds of insights about who am I really working with, what files are really important. And that's all available to you as a developer so that you can, you know, make a better and smarter application. So for example, if I want a people picker, you know, probably the best set of folks that I might want to pick from inside of my application is the folks that I've been working with recently. It can really make for a better experience if you can sort of leverage that kind of an insight. So this is all available at graph.microsoft.com. Actually, we're moving addresses to developer.microsoft.com, but this will navigate you there. So that's one place where you can find out all the information about Microsoft Graph. The other thing I will also say is we focus on how you can take all of your organization data with Microsoft Graph, but it also works for various things like OneDrive, which have both personal and work and life extensions as well. So keep that in mind. Okay, so as we say, it's really something that's easy to get started with. The endpoint itself is on graph.microsoft.com, and it spans across a growing list of different types of technologies at Microsoft. Okay, so Graph itself is a REST-based endpoint, and it follows a lot of the conventions of OData. So things, for example, like doing queries or traversing down through resources, it's if you've ever worked with an OData API, a lot of Microsoft APIs are OData-based, it should feel very familiar. And so doing things like getting a user or getting a photo is all available through, is all available through...
pull that off, put it on the table.
Okay. All right. It's all available through these different types of endpoints. So getting a set of files is /me/drive/root/children. There's calendar information. You can get my manager by going /me/manager. And again, there's these kinds of relationships of I can go get my OneDrive account, I can go find my files, I can go traverse into a file, and then I can go find the last modified user if I'm interested in that kind of relationship. Now, the Graph APIs themselves are split into two forks. There's a 1.0 fork, which really represents sort of our production-ready APIs. And for that, we have a lot of key concepts that, you know, again, as a developer, hopefully this is really interesting to you. It's kind of like Lego blocks for me in terms of things that I can go build with. So we have a set of users and contacts and groups. So this represents the people in your organization. You know, a lot of work is really just people-centered. So you can do things like get a set of users, get the current user, and start to work with their properties. Users have contacts, the set of people that they find interesting, which can frequently be, you know, the source for sending out an email or, you know, sending out calendar invites. And then we have this growing concept of groups across Office 365, the set of people that I'm working with that is manifested inside of Outlook and in Teams, you know, for, you know, a certain project or those kinds of things. And you can get at all that. And groups themselves can have files and can have relationships and those kinds of resources as well. Files, as manifested in SharePoint through OneDrive and SharePoint document libraries, is available through the files endpoint. Calendars and meeting times are also a part. So not only can you get a person's set of appointments, but you can also get at APIs that allow you to say, what's a convenient meeting time for this person? What's their next available slot? So you don't have to do all the work to grab the calendars, you know, sift through them, figure out how to deal with recurrences. We have the APIs that are available for you to do that. We have Mail and Excel and data extensions. So Excel, of course, is a computing engine all into its own. So if you've got a workbook, if you've got business logic expressed in a workbook, you can cause calculations to happen. You can push data into Excel workbooks available for you. And then finally, we have the broader directory. In terms of Azure Active Directory, we have information on the organizational hierarchy and just a lot more. If there's one takeaway, just go to, you can go to graph.microsoft.com, it'll redirect you. Go take a look through the SDK and you'll find all the different pieces that you can take advantage of. And hopefully it'll stoke your imagination for the kinds of cool applications you can build with that. We do also have a beta fork, and under this beta fork, we have additional data that's available. So the insights that I mentioned earlier, OneNote through OneNote, tasks, we have information on the structure of SharePoint sites, lists and libraries, and those kinds of things. More information about people and the social relationships you have inside of companies, and the list of technologies that we're adding into Graph is growing every day. Now, I want to mention a couple things about Graph capabilities. First, Graph has also a facility for webhooks. So for certain types of objects, for example, files in a OneDrive, you can subscribe to a webhook. And with that webhook, what you'll be able to do is anytime a file changes in a person's OneDrive, or what it'll do is it'll call back to your web service. So your web service can actually react to changes that happen inside of your organization. So that's another capability to take a look at. And the other thing I should mention is we talk a lot about how Graph is the gateway to Office 365 and all the data inside of it. But what we're also adding is the concept of hybrid APIs. So if you've got, for example, Exchange 2016, there's a preview capability to connect your on-premises Exchange 2016 environment up into Graph so that a developer who wants to work with mail and calendar and those kinds of things, they don't have to know whether this organization is on-premises or whether they're in Office 365. They can leverage that hybrid capability and, organizations with a big on-premises deployment of Exchange and other technologies, they can still play in all the things that Graph enables. Okay, so let's just take a little quick look at some of these APIs and how they function. So I'm going to go to that Graph Explorer. Let me go to graph.microsoft.com. And what this will do is it'll navigate me to our new developer preview portal that's available as of today. And I'm going to go to Graph Explorer. Now, if you haven't looked at Graph Explorer in the last 2 months or so, we've actually extended it and upgraded it quite considerably. But what you can do here is really just go ahead and test different types of URLs and different types of posts and patches and those kinds of things, as we'll see. You can also use a demo tenant, so if you don't want to sign in with your company's account, you can choose to do so, but in my case, I've got a test account. Now, one thing I should also just say as background, if you're doing any kind of Office 365 or Microsoft Graph development, go to dev.office.com and sign up for the developer program. Because with that developer program, what you'll get is a test tenancy that you can use with Office 365 for doing your experimentation, for doing your development, for exploring with Graph, without needing your, sort of admin's permission to do so. So definitely take advantage of the dev.office.com developer program and, sign up so that you can get those types of developer capabilities that, I'm leveraging here, for example, as a case in point. Okay, so this is a very simple REST request here. I'm going to be looking at /me. I'll click go, and what it'll do is it'll return some very basic information about this fictitious person who's a chief information officer. Okay, so that's just a very simple GET request, but I can also go down the hierarchy, and one of the new capabilities that our Graph Explorer has is this autocomplete. So I can actually go look into my OneDrive, like so, and this will show me all the files that I have inside of my OneDrive, or at least some basic information about my OneDrive. Click go. This shows me how much quota I have remaining, and then I can actually go into the root folder and look at the children. And what I'll get there is a list of all the files that are available in my OneDrive. So if you're building an application with a file experience, here is your core API for getting at the set of files that people want to update and work on and edit and those kinds of things. Now, the other thing I can do is I can, for example, go into SharePoint and see, for example, the root site of my OneDrive, like so. Excuse me. Let me get rid of that. And you can see that it's going to have some core information about the SharePoint site. It's under the beta fork, excuse me. These SharePoint APIs in particular are still in beta, so you want to flip the drop-down to beta first when you want to experiment with those. And you can see that there's some very basic information about my site. If I get rid of the me, now it's not looking at the SharePoint site that backs my OneDrive, it's actually looking at the core SharePoint site for my organization. So it's going to be a different site with a different URL that you'll see will update. So you can see, again, how these relationships between various objects inside of Graph will work. Okay, so that's still coming down. So that's just one way to sort of work with Graph. We'll get into some posts and some different types of ways to actually update it in just a second. Let me just try this one more time. coming down. Let's try this. Okay, let's just try this a little bit differently. All right, so let's go back to the beta fork, like so, and let's just type SharePoint and site, and hopefully this will come back a little bit more quickly this time. Okay, so this is my SharePoint site, and again, I can, you know, work with things like SharePoint lists by just enumerating the lists, and so on and so forth. This works for calendar and for mail and for events and all those kinds of things. Let's go back to 1.0 and let me show you. Let me go back to me. And again, this is going to return my profile information, like so. And what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to go update my personal profile inside of the company. So what I'll do is, let's just try this one more time. Okay, so here's my core information. I'm just going to copy this blob right here. I'm going to change this over to a patch request. So now I've got my request body. I'm going to paste in this information. I'm going to change my office location from Langley over to Hawaii, because my office is going to be in Hawaii, like so. I'm going to click Go. And now it accepted the request. I got a 204 back. And so now when I do a get request again, you'll see that sure enough, my office location has now been updated to Hawaii. So now you can see how I can do updates. And then the final thing I'll show you is how you can create new objects. So in this case, I'm going to do a post request for creating objects. Again, standard REST. I'm going to work with my calendar, and I'm going to work with my events. And in this case, I will go ahead and just paste in a JSON blob. Okay, hold on just a second. Oh, there we go. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, so you can see that this is a JSON blob that represents, a calendar invite. And so you're going to see all the standard things, subject, body, some HTML markup, start time, end time, all that kind of thing. And I'll click Go here. And you'll see that, I can go ahead and sort of update my calendar appointment. And so sure enough, when I go actually into my calendar in Office 365, you can see that it was already there. Didn't need a refresh. You can see that this event that I put on the 10th of March is now available to me. So that's just a quick idea of, how you can work with REST. And Microsoft Graph. If there's nothing else to take away, Graph is this sort of REST standard, easy API that you can use to access all these kinds of objects, and it's fairly straightforward to go use. Okay. So, it is a REST endpoint. You can just make outbound HTTP web request type of calls and go work with it, but we also have a number of SDKs. And so these SDKs can even make the process even easier whether you're working with mobile applications on Universal Windows, on iOS, or on Android, whether you're building JavaScript applications, or whether you're building a service and using ASP.NET MVC, or, Python, or Rails. There's a number of different SDKs that are available, so definitely you're going to want to go check them out and start working with them. Okay, so that's just a very brief overview of Graph and everything that's available. Let's go ahead and build some real applications using what we've learned. Okay, so I'm going to start and first build out a JavaScript application. Let me go exit out of PowerPoint and let me go start Visual Studio. Let me go load it up. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to create a new ASP.NET Core application in Visual Studio 2017. So I'll go start that up. And in this application, I'm not going to go too deep into actually using custom JavaScript frameworks. It's really going to be a very basic application. So I'm just going to go to File New Project and create that ASP.NET Core application and get it ready, like so. And I just want to go serve out static files. There's a lot of great MVC type of patterns here I could take advantage of to go render my content. Here, I'm just going to use this as almost like dumb CDN storage for hosting out files. I will go add a reference to the ASP.NET Core static files module, which I need to serve out files. We'll go to Manage NuGet Packages, and I will go type in static files. Like so, I'll add this to my project, and now I'm ready to go add some very basic files into my project. Go accept those, and we're Almost there. Okay. Now I'm going to go add my page, like so, index.html to start off with. And so I've got my foundation ready. So I'm just really just getting my web project ready here. Hello there, like so. Okay. Now let's go start IIS Express, which will serve out my application. Now, when you want to use Microsoft Graph, probably the most difficult part, although it's really not that difficult, is just basically working with Azure Active Directory to get your application registered, to get the users signed in, and then get your golden OAuth token, which you can use to then go call Graph APIs. And so, for this part of the demo, I'm probably going to spend the most part of the time just walking you through the registration process so you understand it. It's a little bit of maybe some forms in Azure, so it's maybe not the most exciting part of the demo, but if you just understand this, you'll be super able to go add Microsoft Graph to any of your projects. Okay, so I've created my web project here. I'm done. Now I'm ready to go add some graph to it. So to do this, I'm going to go into the settings pages inside of Azure. Now there's two different ways to register for Azure AD applications that will allow you to call into Microsoft Graph. You can do it through the Azure portal, or you can do it through a different site, which we'll see in a little bit, apps.dev.microsoft.com. So in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my Azure Active Directory. And again, I would recommend going to dev.office.com and getting a test directory for these kinds of projects. I'm going to go to my application registrations. And I'm going to go create a very simple registration for this application that I'm building that's going to just show me a list of users inside of my Office 365 tenancy. So to do that, I'm going to just call this users list plus, because it's going to be pretty awesome. And for now, I'm going to just give it the URL of my debug site. So my site is currently being hosted by IIS Express on 24943. So I will use that port as my application, like so. And then I'll go create the application. So think of these application registrations as basically just a different type of user in your system. It's a user, if you will, that represents your application. And so just like a user, you're going to give it some permissions, you're going to give it some metadata to set it all up and to make it have a profile picture and to have a good name. But think of it as basically just like a user. I find that helps. I'm going to go drill into my registration, and I'm going to go give this application a set of permissions it's going to need to work. So to do that, I'll go into required permissions and click add, and I'll select an API to work with. And in this case, I want to work with Microsoft Graph. Now in this, you can see all the different permissions that are available to me. Some of them require an admin's approval. Some of them can also work without having the context of a user. So a lot of these permissions sort of imply that a user is signed in, and you get the intersection of the permissions of the application and the user. The application can only do what the user who's signed in lets them do, coupled with the actual permissions of the application. But then there's application permissions that don't require an active user to be signed in. But in this case, I'm going to use these delegated permissions that require a user to be signed in. So I'm going to actually look for a number of different things here. So first, I'm going to want to go read all users' profiles and read their full profiles. And I'm going to want to be able to sign users in. And then finally, I'm going to want to be able to also view a user's email address and a specific user's basic profile. So these are all the kinds of things that I'm going to need to go do a simple user list application. But if there's one thing you can take away, like look at all the other things that you can do inside of here. You can work with contacts and calendars. They each have their own permissions. You can control it as an administrator. It's all nice things you can play with. Okay, so I'm going to select that. And now I've declared the set of permissions that my application needs to work. But I need to now go ahead as the administrator of this tenancy and say, yes, this application has permission to work inside of my tenancy. I grant it permissions, and now we're ready to go. Now, since this application is going to be JavaScript-based, we're going to need to use an OAuth implicit flow. And so to work with that, I'm just going to click the manifest editor here. There's a setting for OAuth implicit flow that unfortunately is not available as a checkbox, so I have to actually go into this to the editor, just edit this JSON markup, hit save, and now my application registration is ready for me to go use. Okay, so now we've done all the registration of our application. We're ready to go build our application such that we can get users to sign in. So let me just go flip over to that. I'm back to our application here. Let's go. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is go into, okay, let me just do this real quick. Let me just make sure that we're sort of fully using static files and we've got that all registered, like so. go back into index.html. That really just prepares ASP.NET to serve static files. And then here what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to embed some markup inside of my page. And we'll walk through this. So this is my user display application. It's some HTML markup. And what you can see at the top is that we have, you know, a reference to Office UI Fabric, which is an open source library that we use for a lot of Office styles. So if you want to build an application that looks like Office, you should check out Office UI Fabric. I have my CSS stored up on CDN somewhere. It's just some boring CSS, so nothing too much to see there. I'm using jQuery here. Of course, you can use your own frameworks to build these. And then I'm using a library called ADAL, which is a way to it's a JavaScript library for doing the Azure Active Directory authentication for me. Now, up top, I have a number of different pieces of markup for doing the sign-in process. And I've got some layout in HTML here that we're going to populate later. And again, I'm just using some very simple HTML and JavaScript here. You definitely want to use your own framework, whether that's Angular or React or something you love, to make this more sophisticated. I'm just keeping it simple here. Now, up top, I have my registration of configuration. So here's my tenancy name. This is my test tenancy that we're working with. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that application ID that we just created in Azure that we just registered for, and I'm going to copy that and paste it in here. So this is kind of the all-important application ID that you're going to use to register your application. Okay, just making sure I copied that in correctly. Now let's talk through some of the authentication code. From the ADAL library, I'm using this object called authentication context. And authentication context is going to do all the work to handle the sign-in process for me. What I do is I call, are we calling back after a sign-in process? If yes, it will go handle that. Like if I've navigated over to Azure Active Directory to sign me in and then it's coming back, it'll handle that callback process for me. If there's any errors or any weird things going on, it's going to go discover that for me and maybe navigate me to the page. This is all part of the sign-in process. And then if the user is signed in, we're going to go display the user's name. And if they're not, we're basically going to hide the user experience and show the right sign-in and sign-out buttons. So really, this is the sign-in process for our JavaScript application. So let's take a look. I'm going to run the application again, and you're going to have a very boring application here. I'm just going to sign in, and it's going to essentially just print my name, so not super interesting. But it's going to load the page. I'm going to log in, like so. It's going to navigate me over to Azure Active Directory to go sign in. I'm going to sign in with my test account. And so now I'm signed in. It's okay. It's grabbed my email address, and it showed it there. But the important thing is now I have this OAuth token for my application that I can now go use to make graph calls. So let's do that. Oops. Go back to Visual Studio 2017. Again, building JavaScript applications, you're going to get all the IntelliSense and all the debugging capabilities and all the great stuff of Visual Studio 2017. So, that's definitely great. Let's see. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to go paste in some more JavaScript. And we'll talk about how this works. And let me just uncomment these lines, which we'll call the JavaScript we just pasted in. What's going to happen is when a user signed in and when they've made a choice about the user that they want to see, we're going to go retrieve information about that user and just display it in the web page. So fairly simple user interface. So essentially what we'll do is, let me page down. The first thing we're going to call is retrieve users. And we're going to use that ADAL object to go acquire an OAuth token. Assuming we've signed in, it's going to be able to go get us an OAuth token. And so from here, this is really just straightforward REST. I'm going to go call that graph.microsoft.com/beta endpoint that we saw earlier that I showed you in the Graph Explorer. I'm going to configure it to the tenant and that kind of thing. And then I'm just going to make a simple GET request. I'm going to add the OAuth token to the request, and away I will go. And then I will go show the list of users, like so. All right, and it's just going to render it out with really brutally, crudely simple HTML markup. So, it's intended to be simple. Don't judge me about the simplicity of this markup. Okay. Now, when somebody actually picks a dropdown, then we're going to come to this function up here. And what this will do is actually go get information about a specific user given their email address and then just go show that in line. So not a terribly interesting application, but at least it shows you the fundamentals and everything you need to go start building your first JavaScript applications that use Microsoft Graph. We're going to start this up again. Now, I've already signed in, so I shouldn't have to log in a second time. We have maybe I will. All right, let's go do that again. And okay, now I'm signed in. Now you can see it's showing information. You can see it's got my new updated office location in Hawaii. Let me just refresh this one more time. And you can also see here's all the other users that are inside my Office 365 tenancy. So I can pick Jasmine over here, and I can see more information about her. And she lives in East Sound and on One Contoso Way. Again, very boring, but this is the fundamentals of building your applications. And so with this information, you can go now pull in files, you can pull in calendars, you can go, you know, schedule a meeting, you can send emails to the level that your application has permissions, of course. But you can do some really powerful things inside your organization with this API endpoint. So that's a little bit of getting started on the JavaScript side and how you can build a JavaScript application. Now let's go ahead and build a mobile application using Xamarin and the Microsoft Graph as well. So to do that, I'm going to, let's just go close this out and stop it. Now I'm going to start with an open with a training project that we have. Let me just go back to PowerPoint real quick. The web app, by the way, is on github.com/mammerla and microsoftgraph.js-basic site. This upcoming mobile demo, it's on github.com/officedev/training-content. So we have a number of modules here that you can use, various things for training on Office, whether you're building add-ins or things for SharePoint or using Microsoft Teams. There's a lot of content here. There's a lot more on Microsoft Graph as well. So definitely check out this GitHub repo and give us feedback or log issues if you have it. We're updating it and trying to improve the content all the time. And we have a specific module here called 0365-4-3, you know, Xamarin Form. So if you go navigate through the GitHub hierarchy, you can go find that project and you know, maybe follow along or refer to it later if you want to see the code. Okay, so what this project has is it has a starter Xamarin project. Now, this starter is basically a very simple, it's basically just the thing that you would get if you did file new project, a new Xamarin project in Visual Studio 2017. The one thing that they've added is a couple of pre-baked XAML forms for doing login so that we don't have to worry too much about the XAML markup. So it's a very simple project. There's nothing, I'll point out all the sites, but it's really just kind of like a starter project that we have a couple of things pre-baked on. So I'm gonna go boot up the Xamarin project. What you'll see is that there's a XAML page for doing login, and it has sign-in buttons and sign-out buttons already defined. It's got the starter file for that's going to hold a lot of our authentication helpers that we'll talk about in just a second as well. Now, the other thing we're going to want to do, in the same way for the JavaScript application, we registered an application using Azure Active Directory. We're going to also want to register an application for this mobile app, and I'm going to use the other portal for registering, Azure Active Directory applications, and that's apps.dev.microsoft.com, like so. Okay, so in this case, you can see here's a list of applications. It's in some ways a lot simpler compared to the Azure Active Directory interface, but it can let you register applications as well. And so in this case, what I'm going to do is I will create a new Azure application registration. I'm going to go call this. Let's just call this, contact lister or something like that. Give it a nice name. This is going to show up to users when they actually sign in, so you want to come up with a good name, better than contact lister. And this will create my new application. Now, the nice thing about this is that this is now converged, so I can actually use this for consumer OneDrive, for example, and outside of the organization, as well as my organization endpoint, so I can build one application, for example, that works with OneDrive, whether you're a consumer in Office 365. So that this is a really nice portal for doing that. Now, in this case, I want to build a mobile application. So I'm going to say add platform and select mobile application. And so that will give me my precious app ID that I can use inside of my application. And then, similar to Azure Active Directory, we're going to want to go request some permissions. So in this case, I'm going to want to request a number of things because we're actually going to go ahead and sort of pull in a lot of data inside of this application. I'm going to request mail.read and mail.read/write. And we're also going to want to work with mail.send so we can send some emails. Why not? We're going to also want to then go ahead and work with some files. Files.read. Here we go. Files.read and files.read/write. And then we're also going to want to work with users. So we're going to want to, users.readall as well. So, again, you remember the same list of permissions that was available in Azure Active Directory. That's here too, and we're going to want to work with that. So I think that's everything. Got some mail, we got some files. I think we're good to go. Click OK. And so now I've defined my application. I can click Save, and my application's now available. And I've got my application ID I can start to go use. Okay, let me go close this. All right, so this is my Xamarin project, and like all Xamarin projects, Xamarin Forms projects, you know, we have our core libraries in Xamarin Lab here, and then I've got specific projects for Android and for iOS and for UWP. We're going to be doing a lot of our work with Android, but you know, this would work with iOS and UWP as well. Okay, so the first thing we're going to want to do, same as our JavaScript application, is we're going to want to go ahead and do all the sign-in and authentication and login type of process. So in order to do that, I'm going to use a library called MSAL, MSAL. It's in preview, but it does a lot of the work to handle identity for me. So let's go get started with that. I'm going to go open up the NuGet Package Manager console, and I'm going to just go paste in a line that's going to say, go install the Microsoft Identity Client, MSAL, and because it's preview, I'm going to have to specify preview. So I'm going to have to go do this across my different Xamarin packages. So I started with iOS, but I'm going to want to go do it on my Android package as well. Go install it into there. And then I'm also going to want to go put this into my UWP project. So all these projects now have the ability to go call this MSAL library. Okay, so now we're going to want to start retrofitting our application to support sign-in and authentication. So to do that, I'm going to go over to my app.xaml.cs file in the sort of the core library project. You can see we did add a little bit of some predefined variable declarations in my client ID. In fact, let me go update the app ID with the one that we want to use, like so. Let me go paste that in. Now, the other thing to see here is public client application. This is one of the main objects you're going to want to work with that comes from MSAL that will do the sign-in for me. So in this case, I'm just going to go instantiate that thing in the constructor, like that, with my client ID. So now the authentication infrastructure knows what app is being used. And then I'm going to go into my authentication helper and add a few functions. So here, I'm going to want to add a sign-in and a sign-out method to handle those processes. So there's sign-in, and let me add sign-out. Sign-in, as you can see, I'm just going to use my PCA object, my public client application. I'm going to say go acquire a token, and it will go and then sort of return that back up. And then sign-out will just go through all the active signed-in users and go signed-out, so fairly straightforward. Now there's one thing I'm going to have to do that's specific to Android here. If you've ever worked with Android, you know that there's this set of parameters and context that frequently has to get sort of referred to a little bit and passed around. So we're going to do that here and just wire that in, like so. So this is my, this will basically just from within Android go set up some context that we're going to need later on down the line when I'm signing in. And then there's one other thing that I need to add, and I have a sample file for that. Again, specific to Android, but there's a file called login page renderer. And what this is going to do is it's going to wire in the Android user experience such that when a login is needed, we know how to render a dialog in Android that can handle the login process for us. And it needs to use things like context and activities to get started, so that's why it's a little bit more Android specific. Okay, so we've gone through. And let me just go wire up the login page now. So the login page was another thing we added to this project that makes it a little bit different. You can see there's some XAML markup here just for having sign-in buttons and those kinds of things. Okay, and so finally, let's just go wire up these sign-in buttons with their respective code. So I have a sign-in button and a sign-out button. So the sign-in button, what you'll see is it's going to call my authentication helper, that method that we just added to go sign-in, and when it's successful, it's going to go display an alert. And the sign-in button does the same. Okay, so I think we're ready now. Just like with our JavaScript application, half the coding, and it only took me maybe 4 minutes, is just creating the application, getting my sign-in, sign-out process all wired up, getting all those things kind of declared, and making myself ready to get that token that I can then go use to call Graph. And if you're building an organization application, the nice thing about this is, this is the sign-in that you can use to verify the users who are coming into your application. There's all kinds of valuable things that you can go ahead and do with this. Okay, something's not quite right. Let's go see. All right. Okay, oh, I must have pasted something in the wrong place. Oh, yes, I did. Oopsie. All right, I meant to paste it inside the class and I missed. Rats. Okay. Okay, there. Hopefully that'll make things a little better. I'm sure a lot of you were watching that like, oh, you pasted it outside of the class, screaming at your screen. All right, hopefully that's fixed now. Hopefully it'll compile just fine. And it's going to go push it over into our Azure emulator, Android emulator, excuse me. Okay, oops. In fact, I actually ran the project under iOS, and it's not going to be able to find an iOS device, so it's compiling it. So that's going to go happen while we're doing that. So sorry about that. Let's just go let that thing continue. Let's go switch over to Android, and let's go run that project. Again, same way. I think the first time it runs, it typically needs to deploy a couple new additional resources, which is why the first time deployment will probably take a little bit of a while. But you know, definitely with Visual Studio 2017, one of the really awesome things about it is, you know, again, these have evolved over the years, but the emulators I love because, you know, they're very fast and they work just great. And you know, yeah, you can also do a lot with sort of just having a sort of an inexpensive Android device, but it's a really handy and kind of cool thing. And you know, it allows you also to test a different diversity of types of Android applications and framework levels and those kinds of things. Okay, so now my project's done and it's loaded it inside of Xamarin. The Xamarin application is loaded inside my Android device and now I can go sign in. Oh, it failed. Why did it fail? That's not cool. Okay, let's go see why that might be. All right, we'll go test out the debugging functionality really quickly, like so. Let me just, well, okay, so I've saved this application. This application should be fine. Let me just save it one more time. Okay, this is my contact lister. Okay, let's go just debug through this really briefly. Again, it's probably a minor miracle that you know, the integrated debugging works with, you know, Android as an operating system through the virtual machines, all that kind of fun stuff. Again, just amazing capability. Let's see, so. Let's go try that. Let's go set that next breakpoint. And let me go into my login page and just see what's going to happen here. Let's go into Authentication Helper. Let's go set a breakpoint there. Okay, it's going to go load my page. Okay, I'm going to go sign in. Okay, let's see. Let's see, let's go do that. Oh, that's odd. Didn't quite sign in. Let's see. Let me just try one other thing really briefly. Let's see. Authentication helper, app.xaml.cs. Hopefully I pasted it in correctly. Like so. Let me just go check to see that my, let me just go check to see that this has access really briefly. It's got the internet working. Yeah, I think that's working. Okay. Let's see. Well, maybe the one thing I might have not done is maybe I didn't quite register the application correctly for some reason. Let's go. Let's see. Let me just try something really briefly. All right. User list 2. Same. This is just a previous iteration of this particular demo. All right. Try just a different client ID, like so. Get rid of the space. Spaces are killers. And we'll go ahead and see if this is going to work for us. Okay. Breakpoints. Let's go march through those. Try it again. Oh. Okay. Let's just. Okay, one more thing to go look at really briefly. Let's see, did I miss anything? Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go load up a pre-baked project and we'll go try that thing. So let's go into App 3 and we'll load this up and I'll walk you through the code with that. So this was working before, so it should work really well. Okay, so you know, once we have this sign-in all completed, then what we're going to go do is we're going to go take all that code and we're going to go then make some outbound REST requests. And I'll go show you what all of that looks like. It should look very familiar because this is essentially the Xamarin, you know, C# equivalent of all the different types of you know, JavaScript that we just saw in the JavaScript demo earlier. Okay, let's go try this. All right, it's going to go restore a couple packages. Deployment errors. Let's see. Okay. I like that. Let's go try this one more time. I think I was probably just too fast for it, probably. Okay. So now it's going to deploy this. Oh, darn it. I did it again. I think it's trying to deploy to iPhone. Oh, no. Now it's deploying to Android. Okay. So this is my sign-in experience. Okay. So this is going to take me to a web browser. The web browser will allow me to sign in using my account, so I can select this. Now, the first time I run it, it's going to ask for permissions. I've already run this before, so it doesn't have to ask me permissions, but you'll see a dialog that says, here's what this application is going to do. Do you give it permissions to go do so? And of course, I have to hit yes. And that will then take me into the application where I can actually go start to use things. Now, in this case, what this application will do is it will go and hit contacts. And from there, what it's going to do is it's going to pull in all the contacts that are available to me. And then from there, I can also then go select a user, and then I can go see the set of files that I have for that particular contact within my Office 365 tenancy. So, you know, not visually very interesting, but you can see that this data is very interesting and can be used to build very powerful applications. So let's take a look behind the scenes about how this works. So the first page that we navigated to was the contacts page. And so the contacts page, so what you can see here is that it's got some initial just work to go set up the visual appearance of the page. And then when the actual list appears, when the form shows up, it's going to go and go call authenticationhelper.getGraphServiceClient. Let me show you that. So the authentication helper graph service client is this graph SDK that we incorporated into this project. I added it through NuGet packages, and it returns this object called graph service client, which has basically a set of helpers for calling into a number of different graph-based APIs. It wraps those REST requests that you could also do yourself, but this is kind of a little bit more handy. So it's got a helper here called getGraphServiceClient. It'll get me a singleton for my graph service. And what I can then do is, call the different APIs that you see from that. So let's go back to the contacts page. You can see I call get that singleton graph service client. And then just go call into the REST, call me.contacts.request and .select. You can choose the specific set of fields you want to pull down. You don't have to pull down everything. For some of these objects, there's dozens of different properties you can pull down. Sometimes you just want to pull down very selected things to make your app more efficient. And then when I'm done, I'm going to go instantiate this contact view model, which has the ID and the display name and the email address, and will then go just show those types of things. So that's one thing, and you can see that the files is essentially the equivalent of the same code, except I'm just calling the users and getting their OneDrive root client, and then working on that to enumerate their set of files. So you can see the code is almost identical, and that's kind of the beauty of Graph, is that working with files, working with contacts, it's all kind of the same in terms of how you code against it. Now there's one other thing I wanted to show here, which is that I can now go ahead and send email as well. So there's a button in here where I can go send email. Let me go load this up inside of Xamarin one more time. Let's see, it's going to start up. Okay. Sign in. Choose that. And there's a button here called send email. So I'm going to go send myself an email, but it would work for anything. Microsoft.com. Hello there. And say, why did that demo fail? The sign in didn't work. Lots of exclamation points to remind myself to go investigate what I did wrong or didn't paste in for next time. All right, hit send. And so behind the scenes now, I can go into my Office 365 account for this user. I can go to mail. And what you should see is that, my reminder to go investigate why that demo failed, it's now in my inbox, and now I'm ready to take an action. Of course, I probably should have created a task for it, which I could have done. But in this case, I'm using email. So, as developers, of course, you want to send email. That's just a frequent thing. It's how a lot of users work. So you can just, again, get another feel for how this all works, how the set of capabilities that Graph has. Let me go take you into just that one file really briefly. Mailpage.xaml. Again, the code looks very similar. The only thing we're doing here is we're structuring a couple of objects like an email address, a to list. We're putting in some subject and body content as well. And then we're going to call this function called sendMail, but really what we're doing here is we're posting to a mail endpoint. Again, standard REST semantics and behavior. So again, very powerful things that you can go do with Graph. And then of course the beauty of it is, you know, with Xamarin, you can run this on Windows, you can run this in iOS and Android, and and you can also ultimately use it inside of web applications as well. So just a lot of, you know, powerful capabilities come together to let you build really powerful applications. Yeah, so that's a little bit of the summary and the whirlwind tour of using Graph to build out productivity applications. Again, if you're building something for an organization, that organization's using Office 365 and has some of the millions of users that are using Office 365, the Graph APIs is really your gateway to all of the power inside of that. And whether you're building an auto picker, whether you're building an autocomplete or a people picker or doing something more sophisticated like updating their directory, Graph is the API you should consider, and really almost any productivity application, you're going to definitely want to go use Graph. So with that, hopefully you've got a great foundation to go get started building applications. Please check out our GitHub on github.com/officedev/training-content for more information. And we look forward to seeing what you build, and have fun using Graph, and look forward to seeing that. Thanks.